that loud enough? Morning, everybody. Really good to be here. So, this morning, subject I want to speak about is healing. So, I've been on a journey myself, as most of you know, so I'll just briefly go through that. Some of you already know my story, some don't. So, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer. I had a tumour removed, so I had surgery. Unfortunately, there was some lymph nodes that were cancerous, so it meant they had to, I had to have chemotherapy for 6 months to try and blast the cells that were in my body. At that time, you know, I sort of got the all clear, but then about a year or so later, cancer spread to my liver. So I had another surgery, removed 40% of my liver, which seemed, again, nothing seemed to be sort of there recurring, so I didn't have chemotherapy that time. Then about maybe 18 months later, cancer spread to both my lungs. I had multiple tumours in both my lungs. At that time, the doctor said, you've probably got two and a half years to live. This is terminal. So this was just at the start of COVID. So they said, your options are, we're going to start you on chemotherapy. At the time, there was a chance that my immune system was shot. If you start chemo, you know, if you got COVID, you'd die. So it was like a tough decision. But I went ahead, had 6 months of chemotherapy. It removed all the tumours and shrunk and virtually gone. I've been on chemotherapy for the last 2 years. I like a maintenance therapy to try and keep it at bay. So they're saying at some point, you know, it will come back and this is terminal, they can't deal with it. Which recently, that's what's happened. I've started to, my tumours have started to grow in my lungs again. So I'm actually going on holiday tomorrow for a nice trip to the States. So I'm having a break from all treatment for 6 weeks. And when I come back, I'll be starting a stronger chemo to try and blast the cells. My body. So that's my sort of journey, really. Something I've been thinking about for a while and sort of pondering, when you get a terminal diagnosis, what does that mean? You know, for as a Christian, I've got faith in God. I know he's a healing God. So it sort of lacks a lot of processes in my mind. What do I do? What do I think? So I've been studying the Word. So what should I expect as a Christian with a terminal diagnosis? What should we expect as Christians? We've got faith in God. We as humans are more than just a physical part, you see, as we know. We have a soul. The mind, emotions, and our will, ability to think, feel, make choices. The Bible teaches we have a spirit, which not everybody believes, but the Bible teaches the part of us that when we die physically leaves the body, goes to God for judgment. So I just want to look at Romans 8:16. Are we up? Yeah. So the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So it's saying there, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, so we've got a spirit. It's what the Bible teaches us. So we're more to what you see just physically. So to me, I feel spiritual health is the most important part of us, really, our spiritual condition, where we are in God. While we're on this earth, we have this time to receive forgiveness, to accept salvation. It's God's work. So when we are born into this world, we don't have a say concerning our health. You know, some people are born with serious medical conditions. We don't know where we're going to be born, what culture we're going to live in, if we're poor, we're rich. But the Bible teaches us one thing is that we're spiritually dead. As a result of Adam and Eve rebelling against God, sin entered the world. So we're born in a spiritual condition of dead to God. And that's something that needs resolving while we're on this earth. Ephesians 2:1-9. Right, so I'll read it from here because it's a bit easier. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirits are now working those who are disobedient. All of us used to live that way among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. So God's done a work there. And, you know, we have an opportunity to accept his forgiveness while we're here. When our relationship with God is restored by receiving his forgiveness, we are made alive in Christ, as it said there. So our spirits come alive. We have this connection with God then. And we are promised eternal salvation. So maybe you think, I had no choice regarding my spiritual condition. When I was born. I didn't have a choice in that. It was Adam and Eve's fault. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Eve blamed the serpent by tempting her, and Adam blamed Eve for giving her the fruit. It's not part of the human condition, blaming others for, you know, our things that we've done wrong. We find it hard to admit our faults and accept responsibility for our choices and actions. It's not always easy to say it was my fault, but God offers us a way out of this mess we are in. If we ask for forgiveness, if we don't live in denial, if we accept him, there's a way out. There's a way to connect with God, and our spiritual condition can be restored. Romans 8, verse 23. For all have sinned. Have I got it right there? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did I give you the wrong one? Sorry, 8:23. Maybe I give you the wrong one, but that was what I was meant to be. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have no excuse. You know, we've all fallen short, and we've all in the position where we need to receive forgiveness. So our spiritual condition is of the utmost importance. It will affect us for all eternity. If we haven't accepted Christ's forgiveness, we will have to face his wrath instead of his loving kindness for now and all eternity. So he wants to correct that. So if you, I don't know where you are in your spiritual life, your spiritual condition, but this is vitally important while we're on earth. So knowing my eternal destiny, that's what's made a huge difference for me. I questioned and pondered the thought, you know, I know we're all going to end our life at some point, but knowing that you're in relationship with God, knowing where you're going, it's made a massive difference in my life regarding my health. God has given me a peace about the situation. I go to the Christie for treatment all the time, and I see people's faces, and you can see sometimes no hope on people's face. I've got a hope, I've got a faith in God, and I've got a hope in God. So, should we expect God to always heal us? Is it something I can claim, and am I in control of? It's a question I've sort of often thought, really. You know, I just claim my healing and that's it, I'm done. But I've been coming to this church for over 30 years. In that time, with these people that have had diagnoses of cancer and believed, you know, I'm going to be healed, but it's not happened. Some are not healed. What does it mean? You know, we've got faith in God. We know we can heal. Is God not able to heal? Or maybe I used to think, are we lacking in faith? So look at Luke 1, 36 and 37. So even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I think I've got it as saying, nothing is impossible for God. I don't know whether I've got that. So the angel was, Mary was pregnant, and how could this be? The angel said to her, nothing is impossible with God. And that's the same for us. We know that as we've got faith in God, nothing is impossible. The other is Matthew 4:23. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. There's a massive record in the Bible of Jesus healing every sickness, every disease, raising the dead. So we know for an absolute fact that God is able to heal. That's not an issue at all. So clearly nothing's impossible with God. He displayed his power to heal any sickness and disease during his time on earth, even raise the dead. So is our lack of faith the problem? It's I think God must be speaking through Ray this morning when you said about the issue of blood, because I've got that here on my word. That the woman with the issue of blood believed she could touch the faith. With faith, she touched his garment, she would be healed, and Jesus said, that's healed you. So I believe God could heal me. I'm sure many people here have got faith in God, and they believe that. I can touch God, and I will be healed. But we're not always healed, are we? That's the fact of life. It might be sometime in the future. It might be instant. It might not. So I think we can cause ourselves a lot of guilt and pain to think we don't have enough faith. We can make the situation worse and put the pressure on us. But God is sovereign. He's in control. He's got the power. He don't always remove our problems, but helps us with grace and power. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Well, because of the surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a message of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is it. For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in results, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul had a problem. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. It might have been a medical problem. It could have been anything. But he had something that obviously was causing him grief. And God said, power is made perfect in weakness. And sometimes when you're going through circumstances, God does a work in you. And in the last 5 years, I've grown in faith in God and trusted him more. And it's been a benefit to me. And, you know, I've definitely relied on his grace and power. So it's had a positive part. So healing can be a slow process, a kind of recovery after an injury or a bad experience, which helps us to grow as a person. We make choices in life. You know, we could end up abusing our body. We could end up having a car crash. It could be a random accident. It could be all sorts of things. Sometimes recovery is a slow process. It's not an instant thing. We have to work through it. So healing isn't always just an instant miracle. Romans 5, verse 3-5. Not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does put us into shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. So perseverance, character, and hope are a result of going through our experiences, our pain. They develop something in us that makes us stronger. God is interested in our character. It's who we become as people. It's really important while we're here that we grow, we develop into the people God wants us to be. And sometimes that is through going through difficult times. So it might not be instant. It might not be the best thing for us always when we're going through things. Like I say, I've grown a lot with my cancer diagnosis. I've been consulting God and thinking about different things. I've learned to trust him more. He's the only answer to my situation, so I'm completely reliant on him. Although I'm having treatment, you know, I don't have a problem with medication and doctors. They play a part. God works through people and medication, and I have no problem with that. I'm still currently on chemotherapy and will continue. But I believe ultimately God is in control. My time is in his hands. He's the one that's in control. God has and does use people with all sorts of health issues. You know, there's been many famous people with medical conditions, and they haven't been healed. I read a book, Joni Erickson-Tada. I don't know if you heard of her. She ended up as a quadriplegic. She really believed God was going to heal her. He never did, but she's done a tremendous work, you know, and God has used her greatly. So he does use people. A verse often quoted regarding physical healing is 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So I looked into that, and it's a referral to Isaiah 53. It's prophesied that Jesus was going to come. And this actually refers to our moral and spiritual implications of Christ's death, achieving forgiveness for us. Both verses refer to spiritual healing, to sins and righteousness, not sickness and disease. So that verse I've sort of looked at and thought, oh, can I claim that? But it doesn't refer to physical healing directly. So the simple answer is, I don't know why God doesn't always heal us physically. But we can have confidence that he's in control. I know he's got, in my best interest at heart, he's in control. So I don't have to worry about that. So my conclusion is, my time is in God's hands. Our time is in God's hands. He's ultimately in control. Nothing can change that. Romans 8, 35 to 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers. Is there more to it, or is that it? Can separate us from the love of God anyway. That's what it says at the end. I have got these down, but I've got that many. I thought I'd be searching through ages. I'd rather look at the screen and read them. So our time's in God's hands. You know, nothing can separate us. Death, life, nothing. We've got nothing to fear in this life. We've got nothing to fear in the next life. Even if God heals us, which obviously he did for many people in Scripture, we're still going to die one day. But we don't have to fear ever being separated from him. It says there we're never going to be separated. He will fulfill his purposes in our lives on this earth if we follow and submit to him. We have a choice to play. As I say, we've got decisions to make. And as long as we're following God the best we can, you know, his purposes will be fulfilled in our lives. So maybe you have a situation with poor health yourself, you suffer physical pain. I know a lot of people will be praying on a regular basis here. People are in constant pain. There's been something on the news recently about people living with chronic pain. We can believe God for healing. As Ray said this morning, you can touch out and reach God, and he's there and he's available. And he might heal you. He might live through it. He might heal you in the future. It's definitely a possibility that with our faith we can believe God for that. But we are waiting for the full redemption of our bodies, which will happen when we go to be with him and we receive an eternal body. And no sickness or pain. Romans 8, verse 18 to 25. So I consider that our present... No, that's not the one, is it? Yeah, it is. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for the adoption, the sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Hope's for what they already have, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So I'm sure you've felt that groaning yourself when you wake up in the morning and your bones are aching, and we know that these bodies are not going to last forever in this earth. They have an expiry date. So there is that groaning. The full redemption is when we go to be with God and we have a new body with no sickness, no pain, and no sin, but we're not quite there yet. So we wait, and God helps us in our weaknesses. So the other part of us consider regarding healing is our soul, our mind, emotions, and will. Our experiences from birth to now can cause us to need healing in certain areas, maybe because of a trauma, the way we look at life, bad choices, mental health problems, the list could be a long one. So each day we experience many feelings, happiness, sadness, fear, disgust, anger, joy. God created us with the ability to feel for our benefit. But if we don't learn to control them, as you know, it can cause us a lot of trouble. So mental health is one of the things, as you know, is a huge issue today. Young people are experiencing it at a younger age than ever. It's been widely said in the news about this. We live in a world that seems like it's in chaos. Instant information, more than ever before. Phones pinging all the time. There's an overwhelming sense of things that are going on in the world and what's happening, which we didn't experience at one time. It can be overwhelming if we don't believe in a loving God that's got everything at hand. We see the wars going in at the minute. The Bible speaks about wars and the end times, and it doesn't surprise us as Christians, but it's a lot to take in, everything that's going on, and it become overwhelming if we don't understand why it is as it is and how to cope with it. So I'm not obviously a doctor or a professional in these matters when it comes to mental health. There are people, professionals that you need to talk to, and maybe medication's necessary. It could be a physical problem. But I have a battle for my mind like we all do. So what does the Bible teach us how to deal with our mental health? So I came to be a Christian myself. I think I've shared my story before through experience, anxiety and depression. I cried out to God in desperation, not wanting to live with the pain of feeling like that. But when I asked God into my life, it made a huge difference. My whole way of thinking changed. I had no hope at the time, but then I had a hope in God, a hope for eternal. I knew that why I was here, I was created. So the transformation in my mind made a massive difference in understanding why I was feeling like I was. Jackie Bowler, as most of you remember, a previous minister's wife and absolutely amazing woman of God, did a study years ago, Battle for the Mind, based on 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. Have I got that scripture up? Yeah. Although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Right, where was I up to? Sorry, yep. So this is about taking thoughts captive about ourselves. So we might be told when we're young, you're no good, you're worthless, you're useless. You might have had all sorts of things, and these things are in your mind, and we have to renew our mind. The way that we look at the world, why things are going on. So we have to bring them in line to what the Bible has to say about all these issues. So what is the actual truth according to what God says and has achieved through Christ on the cross? Something to we have to understand is our identity as a Christian. So I'll just look at a bit of a PowerPoint. There's a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to go through all of them. Our true identity in Christ. So I'm not going to go through all of these, but we are made alive. We are a new creation. We've received God's righteousness. No condemnation awaits us. We are God's work of art. We are marked as belonging to God. We share in the promise of Christ. We've been given fullness in Christ. We are set free from our sinful nature. We have eternal glory. The list goes on and on. This is like the spiritual truth of who we are in God, who our true identity is as a Christian. And if we accept and understand all these things and renew our mind with them, our mental health can improve, understanding who we are, why we're here, what God's done for us, have a big impact. So my son went to school just over here a few years ago, and they were discussing identity at school there, saying, who do you identify as? And it's quite a big issue. I don't know if you've come across it these days. People are identifying as lots of different things. So they might have been discussing like the sexuality, the culture, all sorts of different issues. And Aaron, my son, just jokingly said, I identify as an alien. Even though they were laughing, people do identify as all sorts of strange things these days. So our identity, you know, is absolutely vital in understanding who we are, how we see ourselves, and how we see God, and how we see the world affects us in with our mental health. In Christ, we are significant, secure, and accepted. These are part of the Freedom in Christ course, which I don't know if you're going to run again, Mark, but I'll encourage you. It's a great course. So we all need healing in some way from the effects of sin. We're all in recovery in some way from its destructive power in our lives, maybe from our choice or not our choice, but it's there. The good news is Jesus has broken its power. We have to play our part in working out our salvation, understanding it, making it work, making it by believing and accepting the truth. So healing can be instant or a long process, a recovery. It can take time. It can be from physical, mental, emotional. But for me, I would say spiritual health is the most important for me. Once I've understood that truth, I can move on into the other areas, and I know my eternal salvation is secure. So Christ's work on the cross was primarily to reconcile us to himself by bringing a salvation and a relationship with himself. The gospel of eternal salvation is what the world needs, I think, more than temporal healing from our bodies, from our ailing bodies. You know, we're always going to suffer from that, but the gospel of salvation is what's needed. So how should we live in these earthly bodies? Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're to live by faith. And in the circumstances of healing, if we're looking at tough circumstances, our hope is in God, our faith is in God. So by living in faith in all circumstances, we don't live by sight. We don't live by what we currently see. Even the doctors could give you a diagnosis, but you don't have to accept that. God is ultimately in control, and he's the one that will make the final decision. So when times get hard, we have to apply our faith, put our hope in God. So the Bible doesn't promise us a life without trouble, as we know. That gospel doesn't say that. As Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He can give us a peace in our circumstances. We just have to put our trust in him. And that's what he's done with me. He's given me a peace in my circumstances. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that God's in control. So to sum up everything regarding healing, for me it comes down to trusting God. I think it's like a relationship thing. I know that he's got my best interest at heart. I know he loves me and cares for me. And my hope is in him. So, let's see where I'm up to. Yeah, so physically, mentally and emotionally, all these, we can receive healing from them. Some of them are processed, some of them take time. He understands what we're going through in this life. Christ himself suffered physically. He suffered torment when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, mentally understanding what he had to go through. So he understands our pain, he knows where we are, he knows what we're going through. And he went to the cross so that all these things can be resolved. So it's taken me going through my journey to more fully hope and trust in God in this situation. You're faced with tough circumstances, you learn more. And I know him better now. And I'm basically all glories to him. You know, my life's in his hands, and that's where my hope is. So that's all I've got to say for now. Thank you for listening.